So I just spent the last 8 days on a silent retreat. So unlucky for you, I have a lot to say, because I've had no one to talk to but God for the last 8 days. But when I was on my retreat, I was looking at the lectionary for the month of December and looking at all the Sundays of Advent, and I was kind of in a little bit of boredom, thought, I wonder if I can pick up some themes for the Sunday gospel readings for the month of December. The first Sunday is about the second coming, the return of the king. I wonder if I can figure out a theme that begins with a letter R for every Sunday in the month of December. So I put myself to the task, and I figured out a pattern within the Gospels in which I could think of 5 R's to remember to prepare ourselves for Christmas. The first, of course, was last Sunday, the return, where the Gospel focused on the second coming of Jesus. Today I thought, well, repent, because we have St. John the Baptist. Next week is Gaudete Sunday, where the priests wear pink vestments. So I thought, rejoice. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent is always about our Blessed Mother, so I thought, recollect. And then Christmas, the royal birth. And then when I got even more bored, I thought, well, after that, Herod comes along, so you can say, run, Jesus, run. Last week, though, we heard the call of Jesus' return, when he will come at the end of time. We're told that the sun will be darkened, and all of these signs will appear, but we're told to stand erect with our head raised, for our redemption is at hand. And St. John Chrysostom says that really the sun isn't actually going to be darkened, but when Jesus returns, he will be so full of light that the sun won't even be recognized, because the glory of the Lord will shine upon us. This week we hear the call from St. John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, to open our hearts to repentance and to the love of God. But why does St. John the Baptist do his work in the desert, in the wilderness? Well, for one, he called people to be baptized in the desert because the desert, the wilderness, is a place where one can be free from the distractions of day-to-day life that hold us down and keep us from being able to reflect on those deeper mysteries of life. Like I said, I spent 8 days in the desert in prayer, and one of the most powerful parts of it was getting up to the sun rising in the morning, watching it set in the evening, and taking long walks in the cold desert under the stars, where we didn't have all of that city light pollution. But there's something good about being in touch with the Creator's creation and experiencing his marvelous love for us as we contemplate its beauty. We need more of that in our lives, so that we can taste the goodness of the Lord. But there's another reason why St. John the Baptist called the Israelites into the desert, because the desert is the place where God frees his people. We remember the story of the Exodus and how the Hebrew people were in slavery under Pharaoh and forced to do arduous work. And yet, God delivered them through mighty signs, through the 10 plagues that he sent upon the Egyptians. And with his right arm, he fought for them and led them to freedom. But they had to pass through the desert. And there in the desert, at Mount Sinai, they received the revelation of God and entered into covenant with him when God gave the 10 commandments. All of this to prepare them to enter into the promised land. Well, John's job before Christ is to be the one who prepares the way, who calls us back into the desert so that we might re-enter with hearts purified by God's love into the true promised land, the promised land that our Messiah King is preparing for us. We're told by the Baptist that God is preparing a highway. He says that the mountains will be made low and that the gorges will be filled in. What is this about? Well, in ancient times, kings and emperors would have roads built so that they could travel throughout their kingdoms and visit the cities and towns within their kingdom. And it was an arduous and exacting work to build a highway for the king. And the highways had to be flattened and raised so that the king could travel with as much safety and comfort as possible, to make it easy for him to make his rounds. We're told, though, that this time God himself is preparing a highway for us, his royal children. He is the one doing the work of laying low the mountains and raising the valleys, that we might have a highway where we can walk in safety through the wilderness to his dwelling place. God is calling all of his children back to himself and to his merciful love. Now, this is very important because one thing that I think many of us struggle with is how to reconcile our own sinfulness with God's love. Because we have to be sure of one thing. The work of repentance and of conversion will come from only one place, that of letting God deeply love us. Our conversions will not come through us white-knuckling it. Our conversions will not come from us telling ourselves we've got to get our act together and start behaving. Holiness is so different than making a New Year's resolution. And it's so much easier because it's not our work. It's God's work in us. And it begins by opening our hearts to receive his profound and immense and unconditional love for us. You see, when we sin, God never stops loving us. God cannot stop loving us because who he is in his very essence, in his very nature, is love. If our sins were greater than God's love, then our sins would have a power over the Almighty. And that's just ridiculous. Our sins have no power over God. God is greater and his love is greater than our sins. Rather, St. Augustine says that God's love is like the sun that burns in the sky and gives off its rays of light and warmth. Sure, as individuals, we can hide ourselves from the sun. We can run into our houses. We can find a cave to seek refuge from its blazing heat. Maybe the sky becomes overcast and we can't see it. But the sun is going to keep shining whether we choose to let it shine or not. It's going to do its thing, which is to give light. The same thing is how God is with our sins. God is like the sun in his love. He just pours out love. Yes, we can choose to run from that or hide ourselves from that, but that's not God. That's us. In our shame, in our pain, in our loneliness and fear. But God's call that we hear from John the Baptist to repentance and to prepare the way of the Lord is to step back out of the darkness into the marvelous light of the sun to receive his immense love. His immense love. some practical ways in prayer during this Advent season to drink more deeply of the Father's love for you. Meditate on Bethlehem. Meditate in your prayer on the baby Jesus being held in the arms of Our Lady or Saint Joseph. And I dare say, even in that prayer, using your imagination, hold the Christ child yourself and receive the love that comes from this little child who is God. There's no threat, is there, in a child? We can be vulnerable because there's an innocence and a purity to a child. So if you're afraid that God might not love you as you are, come to Him as the babe of Bethlehem and hold Him in your arms, because whose heart can't be melted to conversion through that love of a simple child? But also, Advent is not only the coming of Christ at Bethlehem, but in these first weeks, it's a longing for His second advent at the end of time. And meditate on that truth, that Jesus has not abandoned us. He will come back for us in glory, and in His love, take us into His eternal kingdom. Brothers and sisters, only God's love can heal us of our sins and bring about true repentance. So let us take this highway that God is preparing for us through the incarnation of His Son, and let us make haste on it. Let us run, but not grow weary, as we run the race on this divine highway. Today, on this Sunday, we run to this altar, where He comes in love through the sacred Eucharist. And always we run to His holy kingdom, where God, in His love, will let us reign with Him for all eternity. Praise be Jesus Christ.